I'm so glad you are here this morning because we are going to celebrate Mother's Day in America, at least in America, in some territories and other nations. Mother's Day in half of the world is in October, the third Sunday, not this Sunday. But in America, we celebrate this Sunday as Mother's Day. I want you to open your Bible in the fifth book of Moses, which is Deuteronomy, chapter 5, and verse 16. And we're going to honor Mother's Day in trying to find out what is Mother's Day. And just I want to emphasize to begin with that it is biblical to ponder about the significance of Mother's Day. We read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, you know the commandments of the Lord, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God, as Jehovah your God commanded you. Then you will live a long, fruitful life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. In other words, they were in the mountains, they were walking toward the land, the promised land, and the Lord said, now here is an extra command that I give you, and this extra command is this, you need to honor your father and your mother. God emphasized the point of family. And we need to respect the father, and we need to respect the mother, honor the father, and honor the mother. Now, I'm going to explain why. All right? Why are we to honor our mothers? What is the benefit of honoring our mothers? I want to emphasize three points the Bible relates to this. Number one will be Mother's Day, remember life. Then the opposite, Mother's Day, remember death. And then Mother's Day reinforces holiness, a life of holiness. So we're going to go through the scripture and study these and end in the scripture that our brother have read for us so beautiful and so remarkably. Number one, Mother's Day, remember life. I want you to know, I want the whole world to know that according to the Bible, life began with God and the miracle of creation. Now, you are in Deuteronomy, go way to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, to chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible explained in chapter 2 of Genesis and in verse 7, explain creation and give you the anatomy and the physiology of mankind. You don't need to go through the 10 years of university and medical school to learn this. Well, you're going to learn in 3 seconds now. Look at what the Bible says. Look at how clear it is. He said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's your stuff. The dust in the ground has 70 minerals. And that's what you are made of. That's why you take medicine. That's what medicine comes from plants. Because the plants takes from the ground the medicine that you are made of. And that's why all of these antibiotics and all of these things work on you. Because you respond to your creation. You are just ground. You are just dirt. I don't like that, but that's the way it is. I mean it in good sense of physically, not any other, please. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. Mankind in genetic engineering there is a science in medicine called genetic engineering. It's very heavy in Oregon. They're trying to find out if they can put that sparkle and create life without God. The only trouble is they're spending my taxes. But I tell you, God gives life, said, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became, now look at the last word, and you have to hold the King James Bible to that. Man became a living soul. Wow. You have a soul. You are not a dog. You are not an elephant. You are not a monkey. You have a soul. That is the residency of the Spirit of God that give you life, understanding, discernment, and wisdom. So who is the creator? When we celebrate Mother's Day, we are saying, thank you, God, for your beautiful creation. God created. Life began with God. It is through mothers that God chose to perpetuate life through the natural process of procreation. A man and a man united in matrimony, legally or whatever, cannot procreate. All right? Is that simple? Even a child can understand. So the Bible said when we honor mothers, we are saying that it is through mothers that God chose to perpetuate life through the natural process of creation. You are in Genesis 2. Move your Bible to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20 and look what God has to say. Genesis 3 verse 20. Look at what the Bible says. And the man called his wife's name Eve. Or as the original said, Eva. All right? Because it had to be feminine, it had to end in an A. All right? In Hebrew. Eva. Because she was the mother of all living. Is that clear? What a blessing to know that God has given women the special role of mother to impart the blessing of one thing in us, life. Male cannot impart life. And doctors know that. And the moment of creation and the moment of conception is not the man that produces life, it's the woman. And so Eva means life. So when God chose that name for a woman, Eva means life. I'm alive because my mother gave me life. And so, looking into the scripture, it is through mothers that we get life. What a blessing it is to know that it is through the woman. You cannot replace that. Man may fight in court to get all the rights for this and rights for the other, but the natural thing is this. God has established certain rules, and you cannot change it. Only He can violate it. For example, God say that here's the rule of gravity. If I lift this up, they come down. That's gravity. Except Jesus, He can walk on water. See, God can do whatever He wants to, but no us. We have no rights, whatever it is, the court of the United States, or the court of Arabia, we have no rights to change the rules that God has established. It's just so beautiful when you follow. All right? So, it is through mothers that you get life. By the way, the name Adam means red soil, which is red soil in Hebrew means dead. So it is to male that you get death. It is to a woman that you get life. Now, don't get upset, man. Don't get upset. I'm your friend. I love you and all this. We celebrate and cherish life through our mothers, but we recognize that there is a life beyond that life. Why God did that? Why God said, here is the way that need to be done. A male and a woman will get together, and in their conception, the women will give life. And God said, this is the way I structure, and it's done. Why? Because remember when He created us, gave us a soul? For our soul to have a spiritual life, the same thing needs to happen. If you move your Bible to the Gospel of John, you have to go through all the Bible, through the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. It is only God that can give you life to that soul of yours. Look at what the Bible says in John 10 and in verse 10. Jesus says, look at what Jesus is saying. I came, said Jesus, that they may have life and may have it abundantly. That's what Jesus says. And that life that Jesus is talking about is not providing a gasoline or providing money in the bank or a good job. It's providing life for your soul. See? is giving you a spiritual life. All right? John 3:16, you know that, tell us that if we believe on him, we may have eternal life. Is that right? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16, that whosoever believe, no distinction, an Arab can believe, President Obama can believe, Gabriel Otero can believe, whosoever believe in him should have what? Everlasting life. Not talking about physical life, talking about the life of the soul. The life of the soul, God is so interested in preserving because that's you. In psychology, they call your personality. It's your soul. It's who you are. And that life is dead without God. How blessed we are that in Christ Jesus, we celebrate then the life of a mother because not only we are concerned with the physical life, but mothers represent the way that God makes us to live spiritually. As you listen to the Word of God, faith comes into your life. As the Spirit of God works into your life, then life comes into you. In a given moment, when we don't know when that happened. Could be listening to a preaching, could be yourself alone reading the scripture, listening in the radio to another preacher, or listening to a song that remembers you, what God has done. Then God at that moment pushed the button, and here you are. And here you are, believing what you do not believe before. So Mother's Day remembers life. When you see a mother, you see life. You see physical life, and you see spiritual life. Remember that. Secondly, I have to go to the opposite. Mother's Day remember death. As much as we value life, we are all appointed to the day of death as well. You are in John, you need to go farther to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27. So you have to roll your Bible to the right, excuse me, to Hebrews 9:27. And there the Bible tells us that not only God is the creator of life, but here is death. In Hebrews 9:27, the Bible will bring us this news. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after these cometh judgment. Now look at this. It is appointed unto men once to die. If God is not true, then is anybody living forever? Have you seen a man 5,000 years old? If he's not God, I tell doctors, I said, well, you don't believe in God, but tell me, do you have a patient 5,000 years old? And the reason you don't have it is because he died. Why did he die? Oh, because this bacteria, he died because these sex. Right? It is appointed unto men. An appointment. God made an appointment. I was born, and the day I was born, God made the appointment when Gabriel Otero will pass away. You say, wow. Is that so? That's what the Bible says. It is appointed unto man once and the day of judgment. Now, go back now to the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 19 and see what God is telling Adam. God is speaking to Adam. And look at what God is saying. And remember, after Adam disobeyed God, after Adam played like a big shot, I'm going to do what I want to, God said, don't touch these, don't do this, don't do this. And man said, well, I can do everything I want to. And so his wife invited to do something. He disobeyed God. Not the woman. He disobeyed God, said the Bible. God blamed the man because he was instructed first. And so he disobeyed God, and he lost the entire soul who was so beautiful and lived forever. He lost that condition. Look at what happened in verse 19, Genesis 3 and verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return where? To the ground. Why? Remember Genesis 2:7? If you go back to Genesis 2:7, the Bible said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And so when you die, you return to where you came from. Is that clear? It's very clear. And the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. Those people who think they are very big, they never think that they are dust. They think that they're going to rule and do and live forever. And they don't know. I just wrote a letter to Mr. Trump, the one who wanted to be for president. And I said, do you remember you are dust? So he's a very proud man. And I give my reference and see what happened. Because when he talks like he's something. And we need to call the attention to people on the help to say there is somebody greater than you, God. No, me, God. Because, see, when we look to God as greater than us, then we humble ourselves. And then the Holy Spirit is able to come. As long as I contend with God, God sometimes said, leave this man alone. But when I humble myself, then I pray, God, let your spirit work in my life. So remember death. The Bible said that death is real. Now, our mothers, as much as we love it, you remember your mother? I remember mine. Italian, tall, blue eyes, just like Camille McCormack. A marvelous, good-looking gal, just like the sun. It's beautiful. in South America, we do not drink so much coffee because coal in Argentina, you know, it's close to the South Pole. So we drink a tea, a green tea, called mate. And we have a tree in Paraguay, which is the mate tree. They have a fruit, very hard. We go inside the fruit, take everything out, it becomes a container of mate. And then we put the tea over there, and then have water, and you entertain yourself. It's just like a herb tea, all right? Now, the people who are smart, they put tequila and things like that, but we don't do that. So when I was studying, hours and hours of studies, my mama will come and sit by my desk and make that tea and give you one, and you have a straw, and you take from the straw, and then give it back, and your mother do 3-4 hours drinking tea in that way. What a patience. She said, no, study. My son, you need this. You know how wonderful it is to see a woman watching for her children. There is no more precious thing in the life. I wish I was a painter that I can paint the mother when she really cares for that child. And so that's the beauty. Mothers, you think they're never going to die. Never going to die. But mothers die too. There are many here today whose mothers have passed from this life to the next. Maybe you are one of them. That you remember your mother from one thing or the other. You remember the preciousness of your mother, that she is no longer here with us. Mother's Day may remind us then of sad time because she is not here, but sober time because how wonderful she was in care of ourselves. However, the happy times that we experience with them and their life has been completed. If she is not here, your life with your mother has been completed, is finished, and you enjoy those moments with your preciousness of your mother. You know, we ought not to let these thoughts discourage us, but for us to give appropriate thought. Why did we die? What is the lesson that my mother died? I found it in Psalm 90. You can turn your Bible to the book of Psalm, almost in the middle of your Bible, on the book of Psalm, in Psalm 90. I found the spiritual lesson, why God takes away my mother. In Psalm 90, and in verse 10, I remember my mother's, I used to say, oh, I'm going to leave home. And my mother said, do you got this? You got the key? Do you got this? You got this book? You got the other book? Mother knew more of my books than I needed than myself. Oh, no, I forgot that, you know. And so I never thought that my mother never going to be there because I need it, all right? And you come home and she have, you know, Italians. Those spaghetti and meatballs, and that's what I like, spaghetti and meatballs. Oh, boy, you eat 4 or 5 of them. Oh, man, so good. Now, why my mother went away? So the I look up. Look in Psalm 90 and in verse 8, 10. Look at what the Bible says. The days of our years are 3 score years, that means 30, and 10, 30 and 10, 40 so far, all right? Excuse me, 30 is 60, and a score is 20, so it's 60 and 10 is 70. So the days of our years are 3 score years and 10, that is 70, or even by reason of strength, 4 score years, 4 times 2, that is 80. Except Dr. McCormack, he's 93. Yet, either pride, but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone, and we, I like this, we fly away. The believers never die. That's what I love to do funerals. It's better than a wedding for me. I just feel so good, because the believer do not die. He flew away. He went into the presence of God. And I'm not just putting this body on the ground or the ashes. I'm just remembering that that person is looking to me from heaven. I say, oh, poor Gabriel, he's still working there. All right? That's the way I look on it. Now, remember, you may believe 80, you may believe 93 and a half like Dr. McCormack, but one day we fly away. Now, what is the lesson on death? Verse 12 is the lesson. Look at verse 12. Same chapter, Psalm 90 and verse 12. He said, so teach us to number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom. Death should teach us that we should not blow away our days. Oh, there are days of sorrow. There are days of happiness. But we should not be foolish. This is what I learned. What are days? We should be very wise in how we spend the time, because you never got that time back. Very important. And so we are in this earth, and the death of our mother should remember us that we're going to die, and that God requires to have done this so that we look up and said, now, we need to be wise in how I'm going to live. We need to be wise in my decisions, wise in what I think, wise in what I do. When you are young, you never think in anything. You just do things. But it's time, young people, that you get wise about life. And nobody can deny death. Nobody can say, well, there is no death. No, sir. So death teaches us that we need to know how to live today. And there is a book that God wrote. There is a manual that God wrote that you can use it for life. And it's healthy. Not only give you a spiritual life, but they give you a very good life. Young people, the Bible said if you see a prostitute, do not look on it, because it's like walking on coals of fire if you go with her. You know, it's just amazing how this book opens your mind like that. You know, it's just so beautiful. Satan is scared of the book. That's why he took the book out of the schools in America. See? Now, we talk about Mother's Day, remember life, because Eva means life. Mother's Day, remember that she died, and therefore we die. And we need to know how we live. But also Mother's Day reinforces holiness. And the Bible gives us some examples of mothers, and I'd like to make some quotations of them, and you look in the Bible with me about some gorgeous mothers. All right, the first one I want to talk is about the mothers of old, Sarah. That's the name, mothers of old. Let's look in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, in chapter 17, the book of Genesis, and verse 15 and verse 16 in the book of Genesis. That is very, very important, the mother of all right? And God said in Genesis chapter 17 and in verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, that was the Hebrew's name, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Not talking about Israel as a nation, it's talking about the believers. See, Israel think that Sarah, because Sarah was called the mothers of the living nations, and the nations were the different tribes of the believers, Jewish people, the Jewish people think that she is the mother of the Jew. No, she's my mother. And the Jew get mad when I tell them, yeah, because I am in Sarah's womb because I'm a believer in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. This is not talking about Israel. It's talking about the living of God. And so how beautiful. She said, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. And through her came the Son of the Promise. And through the Son of the Promise came the Messiah. And through the Messiah is you and me. You see, Sarai. So she was a very, you read Genesis from 37 up. Abraham comes in Genesis. It's good for you to one time read the book of Genesis and remember a name and the chapter. That gives you an idea what it is. So Sarah comes in chapter 37 all the way through. Oh, she put up with Abraham, like our wife put up with us. Poor lady. But she was faithful. She was faithful. She was fantastic. And so she was selected to be, by God, our spiritual mother. Now, the one that you remember most, maybe it's in 1 Samuel. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And the name of that lady is Hannah. Most of the people remember Hannah because of her wonderful life. In the Bible, Hannah was a very godly mother. Her husband has two wives. And don't ask me why, but he has two wives. Get babies, and Hannah do not get babies. And so she was being put down. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 10 is when, chapter 1 verse 10 is when she started crying for that baby. Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, unto Jehovah, and wept sore. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10. So she, this lady, have a difficulty, has a problem, has something that she have no help whatsoever. The problem was greater than herself and her life. What did she do? What did the Bible say? She prayed. Mothers, don't misestimate your prayers. She prays in the scripture. She prayed unto the Lord. Verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, not only a child, but a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor, she will be a Nazarene, come upon his head. Verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Her husband don't know that she was praying, and he thought that she was drunk. Look at it. Sometimes when you pray, people think you are crazy. You know, that 6,000 years ago, this lady was praying, and the husband said, oh, she may be drunk. See how spiritual we men are? I tell you. Now look in the same chapter, verse 19, same chapter. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came into the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her, verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about her, Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. All right. Samuel was a man of prayer, but Mama prayed for him. And you read the book of 1 Samuel, and Samuel pray. You say, where that man got this one? For Mama. Remarkable Hannah. Now, Elizabeth, remember in the New Testament, you have to go to the book of Luke in chapter 1. On the book of Luke, Elizabeth. Okay, Luke Gospel chapter 1. And look in verse 5 and in verse 6. Look at how beautiful. There was, said the Bible in Luke, Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5, There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. They were believers, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Get the last word. Blameless. Whew. I take my hat on the mother of John the Baptist. I take my hat. No wonder the son. They walk before the Lord. We all walk before the Lord. This one was blameless. Now, I don't say it. Bible say it. Mothers, what a challenge for our life. Because life is tough. What a challenge. A husband complains sometimes. Children are disobedient sometimes. And I don't blame you. You get exhausted. But what a challenge for your life to walk blameless. And of course, I will not leave away Mary, Jesus' mother. I'll go to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 1. And I'm going to follow in the Gospel of Matthew some psychological makeup of Mary that really makes me so happy. Look at in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Matthew and in verse 20. You remember that Jesus was born not from the union of Mary and Joseph, but from the union of Mary and the Holy Spirit. All right? Look at in verse 20. The Bible said, but while he thought, can you imagine Joseph have a nice, good-looking girlfriend, and then she said, Joseph, I'm pregnant. But Joseph never slept with her. Well, Joseph was a great guy. She should be executed. According to when a woman commit something like this in the Hebrew law, is worse than in the Muslim law, she should be executed. But Joseph loved her, so he's not going to say anything. So he said, I'm going to take her to the desert, leave her in the desert, and come back. But look at what happened in verse 20. Right there, Matthew 1:20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, I mean believer. Son of David is an expression of believing in the Messiah, because he was not the son of David physically. Spiritually, he was the son of David. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph must be a spiritual man that he understood the language that God is speaking. See, man, if your wife read the Bible all the time and you don't, you will have no connection with your wife, because you do not understand the spiritual life of your wife. That's what happened in some matrimonies. I see the man is very wise in the world, but is not wise in the word, and the wife is wise in the word. And so verse 20 said, don't panic. Take it. It's of the Holy Spirit. Now, Mary delivered Jesus, and she followed Jesus. Go now to chapter 27 at the crucifixion. Jesus is there to die. Where is Mary? The disciples are chicken out. They're afraid. But look at chapter 27, verse 55 and verse 56. Matthew, chapter 27, verse 55. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, that's the mother of Jesus, and John's, and the mother of Zebedee's children. You see, Mary had other children before, and the Bible just tells here, and after Jesus, I mean. And you see, here is Jesus going to the cross, and the disciples going away, but Mama is right there. Isn't that great? As a mother, is there for you. It's there for you. Now, they killed Jesus. Everybody runs away. Book of Acts tells us that we're in a closed door inside. Go to chapter 28 now, and Matthew, and look in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, at the end of Saturday, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, to the new Sabbath, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. She never gave up. That was, I wrote in my Bible, Mary never gives up. That's a mother. That's a mother. So you can go, ladies, through the examples of these mothers, and there are many, many, many mothers. You can go through that, and you will see the blessing of the examples and the attitudes and the things that mothers do on behalf of their children, because God has enabled them to do so. Now I want to go back to the scripture that our brother read in the book of Proverbs in chapter 31. All right. And I want to close this sermon with a crown, what you young men should look in a woman. All right? You know, in today's world, everything is form. It's how a woman looks that attracts people. But look at what God said about what is a crown woman. Chapter 31, verse 30. Charm is deceptive. Wow. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceptive. Beauty does not last. I don't want to offend anybody, but you look at pictures when you were 20. And you look at picture today. Many times I love pictures. So I have my picture when I was playing soccer, and I put it there. And then I look in the mirror and say, what happened to you, Gabriel? Beauty does not last. Is the word of God good? All right? Look it. But a woman who fears the Lord, what happened? Will be greatly praised. If not by her husband, God will do it. Ladies, don't give up. If your husband does not praise you, God will do it. Because God will not forgive you. Now, verse 31. Look at how precious is that verse. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. In other words, when a woman behaves as God has ordained, ladies, you are bringing glory to God. When a woman honors their husband, care for their children, and follow the Lord by fearing the Lord, that woman is going to be praised regardless the toughness of time and her life. I guarantee it. God did it with Sarah. God did it with Hannah. And God's going to do it with you. There is no exception. May God bless us. And may God have mercy on those who have not yet understood why Jesus came. He came to save those who were lost, include women. And he opened his arm for you to come to him. There is a way to come to him, very simple. You read this book, and this book, paper and cartons and things like that, produces faith. And that faith is not enough. Need to be in your heart. God, the Holy Spirit, who conceived Jesus, will conceive you as a child of God. You see that? God will bring the conception. God, through the Holy Spirit, by the scripture, will bring you in, and one day you too will believe and say, oh, I have a soul now in the hands of my Savior. May that day even be today. Thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing us into the remembrance that you have created women as a crown for us. Help us to honor them. Help us to respect them. And help those women to be proud that they are women of God. And if someone doesn't yet understood this, Father, by mercy, I pray that you will lead such a one into the kingdom. In Jesus we pray. Amen.